Well, thank you, worship team, for that offertory. And thank you again, Still Heights, for your generosity expressed through your worship, through giving here at Still Heights. Well, several weeks ago, we began a brand new series called Living Hope. And it is based off the book of 1 Peter. And we began 2 weeks ago looking at the call of God on our lives, living in the hope of God's calling. And we looked at how God's calling is behind us in the election of God, in the foreordination of God, the foreknowledge of God, the Father. And we looked at how that calling is within us as well through the Holy Spirit. And that calling is ahead of us as we follow our Savior Jesus in obedience to His commands. We are living in the call of God. And we also, last week, looked at how we're living in the hope of new birth through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We received that new birth when we heard the gospel and we responded in faith. The Holy Spirit worked mysteriously in us, leading us to faith and repentance, and we became born again. And we started a whole new life with Christ. We were on this journey of salvation. And that's important for us to remember that term salvation as we work through the book of 1 Peter, because Peter is using the term salvation not just about the regeneration or the new birth that happens when a person becomes born again, but he's using it to include that, but also that journey of faith, that ship of salvation that we're going to sail on until the Lord brings us home safely to the shores of heaven. It's that sanctifying work, that ongoing work. That's how Peter is using the term salvation. So this week, I want to look at how we are living in the hope of God's goodness. God's goodness. And I want to read to you, and our text for consideration today is 1 Peter Verse 13 to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 to chapter 2, verse 3. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you by your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of the imperishable seed through the living, enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. By it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Let's pray together. Lord, you are good, and your love and your word endures forever. So, Lord, I pray as we reflect on these words of Peter today, that you would bring your transforming power into our lives, God. that we be shaped by your word. Lord, that we be impacted by your word today. God, I ask for your blessing on your people as they open up your word, God, and as we hear from our brother, your servant, the Apostle Peter. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Feelings and experiences shape us because they impact our heart. They can inspire us. They can cause us to dream about what could be. And I suppose that there's a poet in all of us that is far more emotive than objective. Yet God has made us more than just emotional beings. We are thinking beings as well. We need to keep our feet solidly planted in truth and reality. The great theologian Thomas Aquinas taught us that reason is the handmaid of faith. Yet, even reason can only take us so far. It can only explain so many things about the world that we live in and about life. And eventually, reason must step aside and give way to the revelation of God's word, for it alone can lead us in the way of salvation and life transformation. Today, we are looking at living in the hope of God's goodness, and the first way that we experience that, Peter says, is through preparing our minds. He says in verse 13a, therefore, prepare your mind for action, be self-controlled. This passage comes out of a context of wrestling or combat. When I was in high school, I was on the wrestling team, and it takes a lot of preparation to be a good wrestler, and it takes a lot of endurance. Peter charges his readers to prepare or gird their minds for action, be self-controlled. Ask any serious-minded student. Thinking and studying are hard work. Peter starts with think before he says feel. Paul says the same thing in Romans 12, 2, where he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, and pleasing will. In his book, The Brain That Heals Itself, Dr. Norman Doidge shares various accounts of groundbreaking work in the field of neuroplasticity. That's the brain's ability to remap its own neural pathways. This occurs as a patient's brain responds to the therapeutic treatments of things such as using light and sound and music and vibration. And it has a profound impact on its patients when used properly. You see, this type of treatment can heal patients of things like debilitating strokes or brain injuries or learning disorders or chronic pain or addictions and even ADHD. With the help of neuroscientists and therapists and the hard work of the patients to follow the prescribed treatments, Dr. Doidge discusses various cases where people's brain physiology actually resets or reroutes to overcome the damage to the neurological pathways. Paul says, we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Peter says, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled, or some versions say, be sober-minded. In other words, stay clear-minded. Watch what you're thinking and make sure it's not distorted or polluted unduly by the sinful patterns of this world. Just this past week, I had to stop watching this show that I've been watching on Netflix. And the reason why is it's just so polluted with profanity. And it's terribly interesting and riveting. But because of the language, especially the amount of times that they use the Lord's name in vain, and then even the suggestive sexual connotations that are in this, I just finally said, you know what, that's enough. you know, I can find a better show, even though this one was really interesting. I just think this is not honoring God. This is polluting my mind, and what impact is this having? So we have to be careful in our thinking that we're not distorted, or our thinking is not polluted unduly by the sinful patterns of this world. I've said before that we have to be careful of the groundwater of our lives, in our minds and in our hearts, that we're not polluting the own groundwater of our life by what we allow into our lives. Well, the second area where we experience the goodness of God, Peter says, is when we set our hearts on hope. Peter says in 13b, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Peter teaches us that the headwaters, okay, kind of the upper reaches of spiritual transformation, begins when we embrace God's word with our minds, and then hope begins to flow into our hearts. Hope is an emotion of the heart that is induced by the transforming of our minds. For example, our hearts are stirred with hope when we consider the return of Jesus for his church. Before we began following Jesus, our hearts were locked and loaded. They were locked and loaded on the things of the world. These were the evil desires that we followed when we lived in ignorance, in rebellion to God. But now the imagination and the passion of our hearts has been set upon Christ. And as we do that, we continue to grow up in Him. God is a thinking being. God is a being with emotions. And God is a holy God. He is holy. And we also experience His goodness when we choose to live in holiness. When we live in holiness. As obedient children, says Peter, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Folks, the patients that Dr. Deutsch featured in his book had to put a ton of effort and time into their therapy treatments that would help recircuit their damaged neurological pathways. There was no shortcut around intentionality, around repetition, around determination, around self-discipline. And at first, the patients, they would just get frustrated, but as they started experiencing the noticeable improvements, they began to work harder and harder because they were receiving joy in their recovery. Peter the neurologist, Peter the cardiologist, and Peter the behavior psychologist reveals to us the pathway to living in the transformative hope of the gospel. We embrace it with our minds. It flows into our hearts. And then it impacts our conduct. It impacts our conduct. And we want to live in such a way, with such an ethic, that we honor God and that we are renewed in our desire to live in holiness. Well, there's another way that we experience the goodness of God, Peter suggests here in this passage. And we find that in verse 17, and it's reverence for God, or reverence of God. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, says Peter, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Reverent fear. Reverence for God comes from the fact that He is an impartial judge, and He will deal with us according to our works. That's what the text says. These are not the type of works that earn us new life or new birth, for that is the gift of grace from God through faith alone. No, these are the sanctifying works of that ongoing salvation that I was talking about at the onset of my message. The Apostle Paul writes about this, and about this reverence, in Philippians 2:12. Listen to what Paul says. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and act according to his will and his purpose. So how could our loving Heavenly Father, who redeemed us with the precious blood of his own Son, the Lamb of God who was chosen before the beginning of the world, how could this type of Father, this type of God, be so imposing to inflict us with fear and trembling in his presence? How do we solve that tension? Well, to begin with, I hope you have a healthy reverence towards the God of the universe. For we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, says the psalmist. Yet the same Almighty God has revealed himself to us as our loving Heavenly Father. So to help us understand this tension, to maybe solve some of this tension, Pastor John Piper has a good word about this. He says, we need to fear treating the fatherhood of God and the precious blood of Jesus like trash. Let me say that again. We need to fear treating the fatherhood of God and the precious blood of Jesus like trash. Imagine for a moment that there was a father who had a teenage daughter who was kidnapped. The captor demanded $1 million for her release. So the father and the mother, they liquidate everything that they own and they come up with the money, and then they go to the appointed place with the ransom money. They make the exchange, the drop-off point for their daughter. They put the money down. The daughter shows up. However, instead of her running into the open arms of her father, she reaches down, grabs the money, thumbs her nose at her parents, and walks away with her captor, who is now her boyfriend. In a sense, we all can possess this spiritual form of the Stockholm effect, which is a psychological condition that happens to some captives who form this emotional bond with their captors, and they start to sympathize with them. Patty Hearst in the 70s is a classic example of that, if you know about her story. And we all, I guess, experience times when we just want to run back to Egypt and to Pharaoh, and we want to live in spiritual slavery again. I don't know why that is, but it's within us. Thankfully, Paul reminds us in Galatians 5:1, it's for freedom. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened by this yoke of oppressive slavery. Folks, it's a dreadful, dreadful thing to trample the precious blood of Christ under our feet. I remember long ago when I first became a Christian, and I didn't even understand communion fully, but I was at home, and I put some juice or wine in a cup, and I had the bread, and I was going downstairs, and I tripped, and I spilt the wine on the mat at the landing, and I got down. Maybe it's some Catholic roots on my mom's side. I just got down and I kissed the ground. I kissed the ground. But really, really, when we think about what Christ went through, the precious, precious sacrifice of his blood, folks, we are so blessed to be able to take communion and to remember Christ's blood that was spilled for us. So it's a dreadful thing to just trample under our feet the blood of Christ. The Bible tells us over and over again, God he's slow to anger. And he is quick to forgive. But if we keep grieving the Spirit of God, we just by our disrespectful and unrepentant actions, then God will discipline us sternly. And ultimately, his justice demands judgment. Yet the good news is that we are rescued from the just wrath of God by Jesus' substitutionary death on the cross. He paid our ransom in full. It is finished, he said. It's been paid in full. The justice of God was satisfied. But this does not give us this license now. We can just go out and sin at will. No, our reverence to God should be propelled in part by this profound sense of gratefulness for the love of Jesus and the love that he demonstrated for us on that cruel cross. For it wasn't with cash or Bitcoin or silver or gold that God used to redeem us from our empty and destructive former ways of life. No, it was through the precious blood of Jesus. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. In a sense, it takes a life to save a life, and Jesus gave his life so we may experience the hope of new life. Folks, hear what I have to say. Jesus wants to share the joy of his goodness with us. He loves us so much. He wants to share the joy of his goodness with us. He wants us to know the full measure of his love. And so we experience God's love when we choose love. Listen to what Peter says in verse 22. Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth so that you have a sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply. Love one another deeply from the heart. So what does that mean to live a holy life? So what does it mean to live a holy life? Well, it's not as religious sounding and unattainable as you may think. Remember, God's call to holiness starts in our minds, flows through into our hearts, and then produces good conduct. And verse 22 reminds us that since we have been born anew through obeying the truth, i.e. the gospel, now we should have this deep love for one another. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, love one another. For by doing so, all people will know that you are my disciples. A holy life is about love. A holy life is about love. It's about loving God. It's about loving others. And it's even about loving ourselves in a God-honoring way. The opposite of this is expressing malice towards others or even to God, and deceitfulness and hypocrisy, because we don't want to reveal our true self when we're not living in the hope of God's truth. So deceitfulness and hypocrisy turn us into these dancing bears, and we're trying to please this person, we're trying to please this other person, or whatever we're trying to please, and we're trying to just live in legalism, and we just come off as dancing bears. We don't learn what the freedom of living transparent lives looks like as we live in truth and love with one another. We mask our inner emptiness by pulling others down with words of envy and slander of all kinds. Well, Peter kind of takes us full circle here, and he brings us back to the goodness of God's word. And in chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, we read, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. You know, there have been some amazing people that have rolled across the world stage over the course of history. Forceful people like Alexander the Great, brilliantly minded people like Newton and Einstein and Gates, and amazing leaders like Sir Winston Churchill, and people of charity and peace like Mother Teresa or Gandhi. But as great as their temporal accomplishments were and are, they pale in comparison to the eternal ways of God. Quoting Isaiah 40, 6 through 8, Peter writes, "All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fail, but the word of the Lord stands forever." The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God, the word of the Lord stands forever. When we activate God's word by study and obedience, it informs our minds with peace and power. It infuses our heart with a living hope, and it influences our conduct. Let me say that again. It informs our minds with peace and power. It infuses our hearts with a living hope, and it influences our conduct. This is the word that has been preached to you. This is the revelation of the living word. Folks, there's no substitution, shortcuts, hacks to experiencing the fullness of Christ and his goodness aside from his word. It impacts our minds, it impacts our hearts, and it impacts our conduct and our life ethic. There's no substitute for the living word of God. You see, if we keep feeding our mind with perishable things of this world instead of the imperishable seed of the Word of God, then our heart affections get polluted, like I was talking about earlier. That groundwater of our hearts gets polluted and our conduct lacks integrity. We can't seem to find any inner power and traction because we're stripped. The nut just won't fit on the bolt anymore because we've been stripped by sin. There's no grabbing power to our lives. And we keep slipping back, whether it's mentally into those, even those neurological pathways that have been put there by addiction or by sinful practices. And we slip back into our empty ways that were handed down to us or that we adopted during the course of our life. Folks, like a baby that longs for her mother's milk, each one of us, should crave the pure spiritual nourishment of God's word. This is how we grow up. This is how we grow and mature in our salvation. This is how our minds and our hearts and our conduct become Christ-like. This is how we live Christianly. This is how we learn to live in the hope of God's goodness. Let's pray. Oh Lord, you are good. You are good, and your love endures forever. Lord, you cause all things to work together for the good. For those who trust in you and are called according to your purposes. So Lord, I pray that this week, as we live our lives, Lord, that we would just have a renewed craving in our spirit, God, that's inspired by your spirit, for your word, God. Impact our minds, Lord. Impact our hearts. Lord, impact our conduct so that we may experience your goodness, Lord, at every level of our lives, Lord. Thank you, God, that you are good and that your love endures forever. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Of the goodness of God. Oh, the goodness of God. Where would we be without His grace and His mercy in our life? God bless you, Still Heights. I pray that you'll have a great week, that the peace of Christ will be with you. Go in His peace, and may you be blessed and be a blessing to those in your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.